Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? You doing good? All right, so we're about to start Sunday school. Before we start, my name is E.T., for those of you who don't know me. I'm from Montreal. And we're going to have a time of Sunday school here this morning. So who'd like to start with a song this morning? Raise your hand if you'd have a song you'd like to pick. Caleb. Number 20? All right, number 23.
Behold.
Have a few more spots in the front row if any kids want to come from the back. We also have spots in the second row. I'm sure Mr. Prost or Mr. Roach or Mr. House wouldn't mind if you guys come sit beside them. There's also a spot beside James here because I have a lot of questions and I have prizes and I have a lot of interaction with you guys this morning. So if you'd like to be a part of it, you're welcome to come up. I don't bite. So anyone else have a song they want to give out? All right. What number? 27. Okay, let's just sing verses 1, 2, and 3, okay, just for sake of time. Number 27. My God, I have okay? So we're going to look to the Lord for His help before we start, okay? So let's close our eyes and pray. My God and Father, thank You so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank You so much that we can sing these songs of praise and worship to Him. Thank You that we have an opportunity this morning to speak to these kids, speak to these little friends, and we just pray that the message might be clear. Pray that there might be something that would just stir in their hearts the need of a Savior and encouragement if they do know Thee as Savior, Lord Jesus. We ask these things for Your glory. Amen. Okay. So, as means of introduction, I have had the chance to travel around the world to different places. I've had chances to go to Malawi with Mr. Roach and Mr. Ruga, my father-in-law, and to India with Mr. Prost. And we've had a chance to talk to a lot of kids. And it's been a lot of fun. Sometimes it's hard because we don't speak the same language, and the translators, sometimes it's a bit harder. But there's one thing the kids can do, is they can follow signs. When kids, if I do an action or something, they can usually follow that. And usually in Malawi, the kids get very distracted. They get distracted by a lot of things. Because you have a room with 800 kids in it. If one kid makes a fuss, everyone gets distracted really quick, right? So we have something in Malawi that we do, that I was taught to me at the schools, in order to get the kids' attention. So whenever the kids would not be paying attention, the teacher would do something really cool. The teacher would make the kids all do a certain set of hand movements, all right? And we'll do it. I know the kids in Dorothy know it pretty well, right? I think so? Okay, we'll do it again, okay? Not all you guys are from Dorothy. So what the teacher would say, and you guys got to follow my instructions, okay? He'd say, okay, kids, hands up. The kids would go, hands up. And the teacher would go, hands down. Hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. And then do it a little faster. Hands up. Hands down. Hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. So today, if I feel that people are losing attention, if I'm putting you all to sleep, we might just have to get going, okay? So Josh, if you feel that the kids are, I'm losing it, you got to just give me the signal, okay? Gotcha, all right, good. All right, so if you're on this side of the room, in the front row, raise your hand, please. Raise your hand, okay. Now, I want you guys to look under your chair. Taped under your chair, one person has a piece of paper. If you have it, pull it out. Oh, no, it's taped to the bottom of your chair. Climb off your chair, take a look at it. Look for it. Only on this side, only on this side of the room. You have it? Okay. Could you open that? What does it say? Can I read it, Daniel? Amos 4:12. If you have a Bible in this rope, hold it in the air. No, hold it in the air. Okay. One, two, three, go. Find Amos 4:12. Only on this side of the room. If you find it, stand up and read it.
It's unto thee. Prepare me to thy God, O Israel.
Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, if you're on this side of the room, raise your hand, please. Raise your hand. Okay, look underneath your chair. Someone has another verse underneath. The tape. It's taped underneath your chair. Everybody look. No, it's taped under the chair. I don't think it's there. You have it? Okay. Can you open it up? All right. If you have a Bible in this row, raise it up. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Go.
Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Thank you. So in those two verses that we read, there's a part of the verse I want to focus on. The first one was, prepare to meet thy God. And the second part is, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So really, what I want to talk about this morning is about being prepared. About being prepared to meet the Lord. So before we continue, let's sing one more song. Maybe a girl this time. Does a girl have a song they want to give out? Yeah. Number 6. Let's sing verses 1 and 2 only, okay? God in mercy.
Jesus Christ was crucified.
So the verse I was thinking about, Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Now this verse has really struck home to me this week and to my family because last Sunday we got news that my grandpa was on his deathbed. My grandpa is 99 years old. Is that old? It's pretty old, eh? Anyone here 99 years old? Probably not. My grandpa was 99 years old, and for the last 37 years of his life, my dad, who was the only Christian in his family, has been trying to share with him the gospel. And my grandpa has been closed to the gospel. He has always tried to change a topic, or every time we try to share with him a verse or share with him something from the Bible, he's been closed. But last Lord's Day, I had the chance to go see him at the hospital, and he was there lying down. He was in, they had given him some medicine to kind of make him sleepy because he was in a lot of pain. He has cancer. And you know, right there and then, for the first time in my life, and my dad as well, we were able to share with him the gospel. Because he was so sick that he couldn't respond. But he could hear. They say whenever you die, the last sense that leaves you is the hearing. Right, Mr. Prost? Yeah. So even though he was looking like he was sleeping, he could still squeeze our hand, and he could still kind of try to say something, but he couldn't talk. And I got to share with him the gospel there. I got a chance to go with him to Florida a few years ago for 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, I wasn't even able to share the gospel for more than 10 seconds because he just cut me off or changed the topic. And so right there and then, I got to share with him the gospel, and I shared with him that verse that we read in Amos, prepare to meet thy God. My grandpa's a very wealthy man. But I told him, I said, Grandpa, when you're dying like this, you know you're going to die. You can't take your money with you. You can't take your car with you. He had a nice Mercedes. You can't take that with you. When you die, you're going to meet God. And how are you going to meet Him? Are you going to meet Him? Are you going to be ready to meet Him? Are you going to be trusting in your good works and what you've done? Are you ready to meet your God? And so my grandpa passed away on Wednesday morning. So we don't know what the outcome was. I don't know if he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's too late for him. He's met God right now, either as a Savior or as a judge. It's too late for him. But today, if you can hear my voice, if you're able to listen to my voice enough to do the hands up, hands down before, you're able to listen and you're able to make a decision. And it's our prayer, and it's the prayer of every parent in this room, that their kids accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. My little daughter, she's 1 year old, and she's too young to make a decision, but we pray for her every day that she accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, because that's the best thing. It doesn't matter how fast she can run. It doesn't matter how good she is at sports or at school. It matters that she accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. So that's really the verse I had before me getting ready for Sunday school when they asked me to take the meeting was, prepare to meet your God. And it's our prayer that everyone, young and old in this room, are ready to meet God. Not as a judge, but as a Savior and friend. And so having said that, I got thinking of being prepared. Now, who of you has to prepare or drive a long distance to come to the conference? Raise your hand. A lot of you, right? Those of you from Dorothy, not so much, right? You live here, right? You don't have to really get your Bible case ready, your running shoes. That's about it. But you have to prepare. You guys come all the way from Nova Scotia, right? So what did you have to prepare when you came?
Clothes.
Clothes?
Patience.
Patience. Oh, patience, yeah. How far is it from Nova Scotia? That's a lot of patience. Yeah. How about you, Daniel?
Clothes, a bit of patience. Only 8 hours.
Only 8 hours, okay. How about you, Sandy? What did you have to get ready for the conference?
Clothes.
So far, we have a lot of clothes. How about you, Jack?
I don't...
Did you prepare something? Did you bring something special? Clothes? How about you?
I brought clothes.
Anything else? Surely someone brought something else but clothes. What did you bring? Did you bring your parents? That's important, yeah. Yeah. It's important to bring your parents to conference. Okay, yep. Savannah?
My Bible.
Your Bible, that's good. Yep, yep.
Your heart.
Your heart, a prepared heart, that's very good. Anything else you have to prepare when we go to a conference?
Money?
Yeah, because you need money to pay for things, for gas on the way, yeah?
God?
Well, it's good to prepare our hearts before God, yeah. Okay, Lily?
Food.
Sorry?
Food.
Yes, that's important. My wife says sometimes I worry too much about food. But yes, food is important. Food is important, especially in the long trips you have to eat. So these are things we have to get ready, right? And you guys only got ready some things, but I know your dad and mom had to take care of the strollers and diapers and car seats and all types of stuff. So good job to all the parents that made the effort to come to the conference. That's great. I'm a new dad, so I'm just learning about the conferences aren't as relaxing as they used to be. That's good. We had a good word for parents yesterday, so it was encouraging. So, okay. So I have a suitcase. Is it, you don't here have a suitcase? Yeah? You pack your suitcase? Do your parents help you sometimes? Raise your hand if your parents help you. Yeah? Well, my wife helps me too, so that's okay. We all need help. And so I have a suitcase here. Yeah, lots of stuff in there. So in this suitcase, I didn't put things in it that I needed for the conference. I don't have any clothes in there and all that good stuff. But what I do have is I have things in here that I was thinking over this week, and when it comes to being prepared to meet our God, sometimes kids, and sometimes older ones too, we prepare things that we think will help us get to heaven. We prepare things or we do things that we think, if I do this, yeah, maybe God will accept me. And you know what, I can say that because I used to be sitting in those chairs a few years ago, and I had some of those same thoughts. So if I had them, chances are maybe some of you had these thoughts. So I have a suitcase with a bunch of articles in it, and they're everyday articles, but we're going to go through them, and we're going to kind of go through each one and explain how that, if these things are good enough to get you to help you get into heaven. Is that okay? Everyone follow me so far? Yeah, hands up, hands up, hands down, hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. Anyone have any questions at this point? Questions? Comments? Observations? Yeah. You forgot. Okay, well, let me know if you remember. Okay, anyone else? We're good? Okay, so I'm going to need some volunteers. Who's a volunteer to help me out here? Okay, well, stay seated. Okay, Levi, come on over here. I want you to put your hand in the suitcase. There's no tigers or lions or snakes. Just put your hand in there and pull one thing out only. Okay, not the chocolate bar, but in there, okay? Pull one thing out. Ooh, thank you. Have a seat. What's this? A dustbin. What's this for? Sweeping? Who here helps their parents sweep sometimes? Yeah? I help my wife sometimes sweeping. I'm still learning, but it's where we get better at these things, right? And so a lot of these, I know you kids help your parents. And this represents to me kids helping their parents. Is that a good thing? Who thinks it's a good thing to help your parents? Most of you guys do. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Helping your parents is good. Your parents like it whenever you help them. They're happy. They say thank you. And maybe you feel good about it, right? You feel good whenever you help your parents. Maybe you're helping your dad with a project in the garage, or you're helping with something, and it's a good thing. But can helping your parents get you to heaven? Maybe a little bit? What do you think? You sure? Thumbs down? That's good, Paul. Good answer. Yeah, so this is one of our props here. So helping your parents, although it's a good thing, it doesn't get you to heaven. And I used to think I was a pretty good kid myself, you know? I was the oldest. And being the oldest meant more responsibility, meaning that I could kind of boss around my siblings. That was good. Until I realized that being the oldest also meant you get more spankings because you got to lead by example. So that wasn't always fun. But I thought I was pretty good because I was the oldest. And I'd help my dad, but that wasn't enough to get me to heaven. All right, who wants to help me with something else? Mary Jane, can you help me? Come. I'm going to put your hand in there, get something, okay? Oh, it's a Bible. Thank you for your help. All right, have a seat. Bible. What's this for? Reading? What else? Who here has a Bible? Will a Bible help you get to heaven? Maybe. What do you think? Yeah? So if you die and you have your Bible in your hand, are you going to heaven? You can read it. That's good. Yeah? What else? If I die with a Bible in my hand, will I go to heaven? No. No. What if I read my Bible every day? What's that song say? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Will that get me to heaven? No. Some people are saying yes, some people are saying no. Yeah, because sometimes, yeah, what do you think? Yeah? Yeah, it's good to read your Bible, right? But it won't get you to heaven. Wait a second. Reading your Bible won't get you to heaven? Now, if you read the Bible and you believe what it says you'll get to heaven, but it's not by having a Bible that gets you to heaven. When my wife and I got married, we got a Bible. It was like the family Bible. It's as big as a table almost. It's a really special Bible with all types of pictures in it. But that Bible won't do any good. Just because you have a Bible, just because you have a Bible, just because you go to the meetings, just because you sit in the front row will not get you into heaven. And that's an important point. The important thing is that we believe what is written in the Bible. So I don't want to confuse anyone by saying that the Bible isn't good, that it's important to read your Bible, but you have to believe what is inside the book. Okay, someone else can help me out? Yeah, come on. Okay. Oh, it's French. Sorry, you guys don't know French. So what is this? Yeah. A teapot, and this is a cup, yeah. So my daughter taught me last week how to pour a teacup, tea into a teapot, and she was sharing it with me. And it got me thinking, you know, I've been seeing a lot of toys out in the play area, and yesterday I was there, and I saw a lot of kids sharing. I saw Jack there, and Jack was helping other kids share with the toys. It was really good. Good job, Jack. And that was good, I'm sure, and I saw other kids as well that were being kind and being nice to each other. Is that good? Is being nice to your friends a good thing? Will that get you to heaven? Are you sure? Yes? No, it won't get you to heaven. It's a good thing. Your parents are happy. It's good to make friends, but it's not enough to get to heaven. Being kind and sharing your toys will not get you to heaven. So now, let's move on quickly here. Someone else. Yeah, come on. Okay. What's this? A craft? Yeah. What kind of craft? A dog or... Yeah, it's a sheep. Well, it's supposed to be a sheep or a dog. We kind of tried it out. Anyways, this is a craft. Sometimes you guys go to Sunday school classes, you make a craft, right? And you're really happy to show to your mom and dad, right? Sometimes I see the door to the meeting room open, and the kids come out of their class, and they're holding all types of crafts to show their parents, right? And it's nice to make these crafts, but it's not going to get you to heaven, right? Just because you were listening to your teacher... Just because you maybe got a star because you came to all the Sunday school classes and you were listening, that's not enough to get you to heaven. All right, something else. All right. Okay, what's this? It's a verse. Yeah, it's a gospel paper, right? Who here memorizes the gospel verse every week? Lots of you kids do. That's good. And I know some kids that can memorize whole chapters of the Bible. Is that going to get you to heaven? Is memorizing scripture going to get you to heaven? If someone says, say John 3:16, who knows John 3:16? Who can help me with that? Yeah, help me out? You know it? You want to say it? No, eh? You want to say it, Savannah? That's very good. You get one of these. It's good to say verse, and sometimes at conferences, kids say verses, and we're all very, good job, and sometimes we're really small, and they can barely walk, but they're still like saying all these verses, and we're like, wow, that's really cool. But that doesn't mean they're saved, right? No, I'm talking about a lot of external things. I'm talking about a lot of things that we can see that kids can do that are not bad in themselves, but they're not going to get you saved. All right, I'm going to speed this up here and pull up something else. Oh, yeah, this is a good one, too. Who here draws these? Yeah? You do a good job at drawing? Yeah? You do that as well? I used to do that, too. Yeah? You guys do it? Now, is that going to get you to heaven? No, it's not. You might get a book or a prize at the end of the year, but that's not going to save your soul. All right, one more thing. There's got to be something else in here. All right, who can help me out? All right, Isaac, come on, help me out. Ta-da! Okay. Good old George Washington. What is this?
Piece of money.
Piece of money. Is money good? Who here sees their parents put money in the collection basket? Who here has ever put money in the collection basket? Sometimes. I used to help my dad sometimes. He says, you can't look at it, but you can put it in. That was the deal. Yeah, or sometimes kids. I had a kid a few years ago come to me and say, I want to give some money for the kids in Africa. But was that a good thing? That was a very good thing. I was really encouraged. He wasn't very much, but for him it was a lot of money. Because he was able to, he gave the kid that didn't have that much in his piggy bank, but he gave the money for the kids in Africa. That's good. Mr. Roach, will giving money for the kids in Africa get you to heaven? No. They're really happy to get the money, but it's not going to get them in heaven. And so I got all these things here that kids can do. All these things that I know in some aspects, I myself at one point in my life, thought that, you know what, I'm a pretty good kid. Who here thinks they're a real bad kid? You think you're a bad kid? Yeah. Well, most of your friends aren't too sure about that. They think they're pretty good. Yeah, we like to think we're pretty good, right? We like to think that we're good runners, that we're obedient, and that we're better than the other kids. Sometimes you see kids in meetings that are really bad. You're like, well, I'm not like them. Yeah. Sometimes that happens, right? Or sometimes you might think, well, look, I always obey my parents, and I always do this and that, so I'm okay. But that's not good enough in the eyes of God, because when God looks at you, He doesn't look at things that you're doing. He's looking on the inside. And it's really hard for me to explain this without a prop, but there's no prop that really can justify it. Because when it comes to salvation, can you see if someone's saved? Who here thinks Mr. Prost is saved? Yeah. Can you see inside his heart? No. I mean, I've had the chance to travel with him, and I know he loves the Lord very much, but you can't see if he's saved. You can see his actions, but we don't know each other's heart. So today in the front row, a lot of you kids are happy. You're really good. It's really good that you're here. You're listening. It's great, but I don't know inside your heart. And your parents don't know inside your heart either. And that's why it's not a question of these external things. It's not a question of these things that you can do to get saved. It's a question of accepting something that was done for you. And that is what salvation is all about. It's something that we could not earn on our own. Now, these things are very good, like we said before, but they're not going to get you saved. There's a verse that we're going to read together in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Could someone read that, please, for me? If you get it, stand up and read it. Go ahead.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you very much. Not by works that which we have done. These things are all works. Good works cannot save us. Good works cannot get us to heaven. But by mercy He saved us. The Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, He came down to earth. He came down to earth to die for us. He gave His life for us. He died for you, Lily. He died for you, Avery. He died for you, Ernie. He died for you. He died for you. He died for me. Even if there had been only one person in this world, He would have come down and died for that individual. He came and He preached good things. He came to show us the heart of the Father. He came to teach us the way to God. But yet, you know what? People took Jesus and said, we don't want this man to reign over us. And they put Him on a cross. And he died. But in doing so, He paid for our sins. He was a righteous man. He had no sin. In Him was no sin. And He was the perfect substitute for our sins. And it's by accepting it in our hearts, by believing on Him, that we can be saved. Not by doing good things, but by accepting what's been done for us. So I'm going to read another verse in the book of Romans 10, verse 9. Can someone help me with that? Romans 10, verse 9. Okay, he stood up first. Sorry, Daniel, but you already got a chocolate bar, so...
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Thank you. Did that mention good works in that verse? If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So today, right where you're sitting, just as I was sitting there probably some 20 years ago, and I was listening to messages like this and answering questions, at that moment, I could have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, did I do it? Do you think I did it at a conference? No, I didn't do it at a conference. I remember where I did it, though. I remember I was in my laundry room by the washer and dryer. And I remember that I was so burdened in my heart about my sin. Yeah. You have something to say? Okay, no. I was so burdened in my heart because I knew I was a sinner. And I knew that I had done bad things. I thought I was a good kid, but I knew I had done bad things. I knew that I could not save myself. So I remember, right there beside my old Kenmore washing machine, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I admitted that I was a sinner, that I couldn't, that the good things that I thought I could do were not good enough, and that I had to accept God's free gift of salvation. And then to be sure, because I, you know, sometimes as kids, you probably, maybe people can remember, or relate to this, that you kind of don't know if you did it the right way, right? You're like, did I really do it? Was I sure? Did I? So I took a pen, and I wrote a little cross right in the frame of the cabinet around the washer and dryer, just so I would remember. And every time I forgot, I wasn't sure I was saved, I'd go back and I'd remember that I'd put the little cross there. But you see, that was when I turned from darkness to light. That was when I accepted what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. It wasn't a question of me doing something good. It was accepting what was done for me. And today, if you're going to get to heaven, it's not on your own basis. It's not on what you can do. It's by accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Let's sing a song. Actually, I want to sing What Can Wash Away My Sin. 32. Let's sing 32 verses 1 and 2, okay? What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
talk today about preparing to meet our God. He's your God, whether you are a believer or not, He's still your God. Whether today you choose to reject God's free gift, He is still God. He is still the one who is the judge. He is still the one that you will face whether you choose to accept it or not. Back what I said before about my grandpa, whether he accepts it or not, God is still God. Whether you believe in a police officer or not doesn't change that he's an authority. Even more for God, right? He is the one that we all have to meet. We talked about being prepared to go to a conference, right? We talked about that. We talked about things in our lives that we can think that will prepare us for heaven, but will not actually get us to heaven. And I talked to you guys about my own story, how that I had to accept that free gift, the blood of Christ that was shed for me. As Jesus, as the book of Galatians says, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I have here a passport. Who here has a passport? Yeah. Why do we have a passport for? Why do you use a passport? Get across the border. That's good. Has anyone here ever had trouble at the border? Getting across the border? You? Sometimes? Yeah, it's already happened. Yeah, sometimes I've gotten pulled over too for a search. In India, they often come and they always ask for passport, passport, passport. They always want to see your passport and your visa to go into the country. But a passport is your ticket to the next country, to go over to the next country. And my dad was sharing with my grandpa before he passed away that he needed a passport to go to heaven. Now, what is a passport to heaven? Yeah. Salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So today, you might have a passport to go back home to Canada or whatever country you're from. Or maybe when you come visit us in Canada, if you guys want to come to Canada, you're most welcome to come to Montreal. Great place. We have a conference in November. But you have to need your passport. Right? You have a passport, Avery? No? You guys one? Yeah, you got one. That's okay. You don't have it here right now. But the important thing is that you have your passport to get to heaven, that your sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. And so when it comes to being prepared, it's important that every one of us are ready to meet God. You know, I was thinking about someone else in the book of Ezra. It talks about, I think it's in Ezra, but it talks about Ezra prepared his heart. Can someone quote that verse for me? Prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it. Is that what it says? Ezra? Is that what it says, Josh? Yeah. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Yeah. So he had in his heart, he was ready to seek the Lord. And here at a conference, I know many of the parents, I hope everyone here, has come ready, prepared to seek the Lord. Now, that happens, how do you prepare your heart? You know, in your reading in the morning, when you get ready, you have a time in the Word, you prepare your heart to receive a blessing from the Lord. You make sure there's nothing in your life that is a compromise. You know, I asked this as a question, but I challenged myself that I spend more time getting myself ready this morning than I did preparing my heart. It's a challenge, right? We can sometimes get really worried about our outward appearance, but is our inward appearance, are we ready, is our heart ready to receive a blessing from the Lord? Last night at the Young People's Hymn Sing talk, our brother shared about, challenged us all to read our Bibles and to pray that evening. And I hope all of us, or most of us, did that. And that's important, that we prepare, we take that time individually. This is not for salvation, this is how you will grow in your faith, if you prepare your heart, and if you allow God to come in and to teach you things from His Word. Now, does anyone have any questions? Questions? Comments? Anything not clear? I got one more chocolate bar. That's my favorite one, so I might keep it. It's hard. Okay, we're going to sing one more song. Let's sing one more song. Jack. Number 7? All right, let's sing verses 1 and 2, okay? Can someone start the song, please?
I love the world for sinners fall.
You know, if you go around in the gym and in the other room, there's all these motivational sayings on the wall. Some of them are okay, but one of them is really wrong. What does that say up there? Believe in yourself. Now, could you believe in yourself to go to heaven? No. I know what they mean, that you should believe in yourself, that you can do something. But we got to be careful that even in these things that we hear at school, as we heard about in the reading meeting, that it's not man's wisdom that comes in. That comes in to try to get us to think that we, in ourselves, we're good enough. Because we're not good enough in our own. And whenever we realize that it's only through the power of Christ inside of us that we can do things for Him, it's a way better way of thinking, right? That's how we can have God's wisdom and not man's wisdom. So I just thought that was important. Even if you guys are at school, you hear things, you see things. Is it going to help you in your Christian faith? Are you always comparing it with the Word of God? That's really important. And you can ask your parents questions. If you hear things at school or see things that you don't agree with or you're not sure about, your parents can help you with that, and that's really important. You've got to compare everything with the Word of God, right? So let's just pray and thank you for your attention, okay? Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity we had to open your Word and to just talk a little bit about being prepared. We pray for every individual in this room. We pray for every child and older one that might be holding out. Anyone that might still be a stranger to your love and grace, Lord Jesus, we pray that they might even now accept this free gift and be prepared for heaven. Thank you for this opportunity we had to share the good news, and thank you for these kids that could listen. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, one last time, okay? Hands up, hands down. Hands up, hands down. Clap once, clap twice. Hands up, hands down. Class dismissed.